listener production. In today's episode, we speak about eating disorders and we also speak about mental health. So if this is something that you might be struggling with, I'm going to give you two resources. One is the Butterfly Foundation, which is 1-800-33-46-73. And the number for Lifeline is 13 11 14. What does the word healthy mean to you? I'm Katie Williams, and this is Better For It, helping you and I become a little bit healthier one week at a time. For most of my life, I put my body on the line. In my career as a professional athlete, I went to extreme lengths to get a physical and mental advantage. From sprinter to trainer, I got my bachelor in health and exercise management. I also studied NLP and dipped my toe into Reiki, not to mention competing as a human guinea pig in the Big Brother house. I love pushing my body and mind to the limit to see what I can learn. And now in this podcast, I speak with leaders across all areas of health about the things they do that make them better for it. So join me as we all get better for it together. Today, I'm joined by Kath Ebbs, who is an actor, a writer, a DJ, and they've just joined the Kick app as a trainer. You really do it all, don't you, doll?
I don't know. I try to. I think I just get bored.
God, I know we're going to go so rogue. So I will actually introduce what this episode is about.
Okay.
And this episode is about accepting yourself and being authentic. And you champion this so well in every aspect of your life. And for me, this podcast comes under the pillar of mental health and emotional health. But I want to actually begin at the start here. When I look at you, I see someone who fully accepts himself and is truly authentic. Like I truly see that. Do you think that's true in you?
Yeah, I think I do think that.
Yeah.
I think I definitely know my flaws. I mean, even today I'm not having like the most crash hot day, and I think I'm feeling, I'm definitely in like a, I guess my mood today is a little bit self-destructive in terms of like beating myself up about certain things. And I guess you would look at that and go, that doesn't sound like someone that's very self-assured. But I think I know myself really well in terms of like, I know the things that I want to work on, the things I am working on, my flaws, the way that I piss people off, the way I piss myself off. And I also like know the good things about myself and my life. And I feel like it's taken a really long time to get there. And I don't think you ever fully understand it all, but I definitely know, I definitely have a deep sense of knowing who I am at the core of it, like knowing the good things and the bad things. And I think I am quite at the root of it, pretty self-assured in that. Yeah.
Oh my God, babe, I totally think you are. And seeing your transformation over the past few years, like I have met you. I met you when
I was a baby.
We were both straight. So
yeah.
So we've really, and it's been really beautiful to watch your journey. You've had different management teams. You've worked with different brands. You've evolved your personal brand. You've evolved in your relationship with yourself. Your fashion has changed. You've, you know, really dove into the things that light you up. You know, you've done your own podcast, you've done your own show, you've stepped into acting, you've got your first non-binary role, you've come out as non-binary, you've come out as well. You've embraced being queer and you've been a role model for your community. So it's been so cool to watch this journey. And I think what's really beautiful is you will admit, admit's the wrong word, but you will acknowledge when you are having a bad day. And I think that's really powerful because someone who's vulnerable is someone who is strong and someone who is aware of their flaws and loves themselves anyway. That's a powerful human. I want to talk to you about three things today. And one of them that you champion so well is accepting your sexuality fully. And I've seen this on, with your social media, on your podcast. In every way, it seems like you have accepted your sexuality. How did you learn to accept it? And do you have any advice for our listeners that might be struggling with their acceptance of their own sexuality?
I think it's been such a long journey. Like for context, I knew I was gay or queer when I was like six.
Did you?
Yeah. And I was terrified by
it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's been a journey for me since I was six. And it came in waves. So I kind of, you know, had a moment, when I was younger, being like, oh, what? I guess you get told like, okay, girls, you're a girl and girls like boys. And I was like, huh? Okay. What? Like, I didn't feel right, but I was like, okay. Used to get called a lesbian when I was younger.
Why?
I don't know. I think one time we used to hang out with this like group of like kids that there was like a, almost like not a mother's group, but like the parents of, I used to go to church and there was like a group of us kids that were like the kids of the parents. They used to all hang out after church. I don't know. And this one time I got dared to like kiss one of the girls and then I did. And then like, they used to call me a lesbian. And that kiss was so innocent.
Kids,
it was like,
so mean.
It's like, you know, it was like just kids being kids. And I think I used to freak out because I was like, oh my God, like they know I'm a lesbian. And then that trope kind of like carried on into high school of like my first kiss, like many of us, was with a girl because I was scared to kiss a boy. And I was like super freaked out by it because I thought it like confirmed this thing. And yeah, there's so many stories that just went on and on and on. And then I really managed to suppress it. And towards the end of high school became unfortunately kind of homophobic, not only internally, but a little bit externally as well. Mm. And I turned back to like religion because I had a lot of, I think religion was really tied up into this like sexuality fear of just like being myself. And yeah, it was a journey of, you know, doing the what feels unnatural to me, which is to be romantically involved with men. I went against my instincts and dated a man. And he was lovely. But it just wasn't it. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And there was religion kind of, you know, tied into that relationship a little bit. And yeah. It wasn't until, honestly, which is probably what drives me to be so vocal about my queerness and about my journey online and, you know, even in my other work, like writing and acting and stuff, is because what allowed me to start to accept who I was or at least explore it in a, like, somewhat comfortable manner, even though there was still some uncomfortability there, was through seeing other queer people just like being themselves. I think I thought that like if you were living as a gay person, you were like super unhappy or that it was very like over there. Like it was just very far away. And so
there's no visibility.
No. So when I did have that visibility through the internet, through like queer creators and also just new friends in my life at the time from being in this industry, as well as I was doing a little bit of acting at the time. Like there's a lot of queer people.
There's a
people,
lot of creatives in the space that are queer.
And just fluid and like, you
totally.
Know.
Totally.
And that made me feel comfortable to then explore. So I think that's what drives my work because I know that that's what helped me come out. And I just think, I don't know if I'm ever like, I don't think you 100% become, I mean, maybe some people do. I don't want to put words in people's mouth. But for me, like, I don't know if I'll ever be like 100% like comfortable. I'm very like, I guess I am comfortable in like who I am and the way that I identify today. But we live in like a very like cis-centric, heteronormative world. So there's always a part of you that's like second guessing yourself or questioning things and I don't know, like feeling like you're going to get found out. Like I'm someone that like I said, I've known I was gay since I was 6 and it was such a journey to get where I am today. And I'm so happy dating women and non-binary people. But like, I still have this weird feeling of like, one day I'm going to wake up and fall in love with a cis man and it's all going to be a lie. And like,
yeah, but like if you did, that's so fine.
No, totally.
I know that you don't want to, but no, it doesn't feel right.
No,
but like,
I know.
If you did, it's all good.
No, totally. And that's what I mean too. Like on that, it's like, I don't see that happening, but it's also something I think, not that I fear, but like the feeling of like, even then, like the way that I think of sexuality and gender is that like everything's fluid. And like when we realize that, it just like opens us up to like freedom and like creativity and exploration. And I think like that's something I talk about all the time, that like everything is fucking fluid. But so then again, so I was like, if I did wake up and like that was to happen, that doesn't matter because I believe everything's fluid. But then again, I still feel the pressure being a public queer person from the community that all of a sudden I'm like wrong or that, you know.
There's pressure on both sides. This is the hard thing.
I guess that's what I'm getting at.
But there is though. Yeah,
there's a pressure to like pick your lane and stay there. Mm-hmm. And if you move, then like you're a liar or something, which could just be like my own lack of self-worth coming into. But I think a lot of queer people feel that, like they're not queer enough or they're going to get found out or something.
What advice would you give to our audience who are struggling with their sexuality? Because you have really gotten yourself to a great place with it.
I think, on what we were just talking about, I would say take the pressure off. Like, it should be a really fun and exciting time. You don't owe anyone anything, especially at the beginning. Like, if you want to go, like, let's say you're a girl and you want to explore connections with women and like maybe AFAB people, you know, you go and do that. Like, you don't need to announce it. You don't need to explain it. You can just go and see if that makes you feel comfortable, see if that's something that you're interested in. Just go explore, have fun. Like, follow, I think, on an educational perspective, like queer creators, Instagram is like an amazing place where in the privacy of your own home or wherever you can, you know, find out about different identities, different sexualities, different gender expressions at like a touch of a button on the internet. That really helped me so much on my journey. But I guess like if I was to say one thing, it would be like just take the pressure off, like enjoy, download like Hinge, change your preferences, go on a few dates, like go have some experiences, obviously within safe boundaries and see what you like.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
It's such beautiful, simple advice. Mm. And not get so hung up on what this now makes you.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Really make you anything.
No.
You can go on a date with a girl without having the label put on you as I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
Or I'm bi. Mm. It's like, hey, maybe just like go hang out with her and see what that feels like. It doesn't have to be this massive thing.
No, it definitely doesn't have to be this massive thing.
I want to talk to you now about your mental health and you've been very open about your mental health wins and your mental health struggles as well. How did you come to terms with struggling with your mental health?
I think it's something like I still struggle with every day. I unfortunately have had, I suppose in a way, the luxury because I've had a quicker crash course, but also unfortunately I haven't really known my life without mental health issues, like ever since I can kind of remember being a human. I've been very anxious and had a lot of sensory issues as a child. I've kind of been forced to figure it out, especially like when I was younger. It wasn't like now where it's like you're anxious or, you know, you're feeling depressed or you're having a panic attack. Like when I was younger, I was literally like, what is wrong with me? I guess my mental health has just been something that's just always been kind of a part of my life. It wasn't like I got to a certain age and all of a sudden I was like, what's going on? I've just always kind of been like that. And growing up, it was weird, like becoming a adult or even like in my teenage years, it was kind of not a blessing, but I remember when I was like 15, I reckon, it was the first time I met this girl who was in my year at school and we got chatting because I could kind of, I could kind of feel that she was going through something and I kind of spoke to her about it and I met this person and it was the first time ever in my life where someone had the exact same experiences as me growing up
like
sensitivities and explained that it's anxiety and I was like, what? Like other people feel like this?
Yeah, and you don't feel alone.
Yeah. And so that was like, oh my God. And then becoming an adult, like having access to things like therapists and even social media, people talk about all this stuff. It's like been incredible for me. In terms of acceptance, I think I've just had to accept it because otherwise I would struggle to be here to make sense of what's the point of, you know, this or, you know, when you struggle on the daily. Yeah.
You have to learn to cope.
If you don't, yeah, accept it and find ways to cope, you know, unfortunately, like you
can't show up as your best self.
Yeah, you can't show up at all because you go, why would I like suffer? If you only kind of feel suffering inside, then, you know, it's hard to stay alive. So without self-acceptance and asking for help and seeking, you know, professional help
as well,
or things like medication, all that stuff.
Talk to me about the coping mechanisms that you've used for your mental health. Mm. One example being you doing your beautiful dancing during lockdown. Mm. Such a simple and amazing approach to shifting energy in your body. What are your coping mechanisms for dealing with mental health?
Therapy. I go to therapy every week, and I know I will acknowledge that that is a massive luxury because therapy is ridiculously expensive and also takes a, you know, chunk out of your day, and I'm a freelancer, so I have the access to go in the middle of the day. Some people don't, so I understand that's a privilege, but therapy has helped me a lot. I also take medication that has saved my life many times. In terms of, like, you know, those like rituals, it would definitely be music for me is huge. There's like, they found studies that listening to certain like BPMs can help kind of like bring your energy up. So if I'm feeling really depressed or struggling, I will literally have a playlist that is like very
so good. I've seen your playlist.
Very high BPMs.
So fun.
So really intense, like techno or like dance music really helps.
Really shifts your energy.
Yeah, I love techno music for that. I just love music without words. It's just like a heavy beat.
Deuce.
Yeah. That helps me a lot though. I write, I journal pretty much every day. That helps make sense of, you know, my thoughts and my feelings, and also having something to look back on when I am in a really dark period, being like, well, I've been here before and I haven't, so I think you'll be all right.
Yeah.
And I think too, for me, spirituality and believing in like a higher power.
Yeah.
I call it God. Some people don't like that.
Divine.
Yeah, the universe, guardian angels, maybe someone that's past that you feel like is with you.
Connected. You just need to believe in something outside of yourself.
Yeah.
Had to have faith.
Yeah. And I feel like that is what gets me through. Like if I was to choose one thing, like I know that my connection to faith and my trust in the universe, or like handing over to a higher power, has like kept me alive many times. So yeah, I'd probably honestly be number one would be
it's beautiful.
My connection to like God.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You've had a really interesting relationship with exercise and nutrition, all that kind of stuff. You're coming from a modeling background. You're obviously still now very much in the industry, behind camera, in the media, and also showing up on social media every day. You speak a lot about training. You speak a lot about training on your Instagram, and you also speak a lot about body image with your history of having an eating disorder as well. How did you learn to accept yourself and love yourself? Is this something that you are still learning, or is this something that you're still practicing?
I think I love myself, but I think when external, like for example, with my eating disorder, that's something that, you know, I still struggle with.
Yeah.
I think too, a lot of people think, because I was in recovery when I started like social media, but I was still struggling with overtraining and like anorexia. And I think I think people saw me transition and like put on weight, to put it simply. And everyone was like, oh my God, like
you're healed.
And actually that original weight gain was because I developed a binge eating disorder, and that's what I struggle with now. So I think it's like an ongoing journey, and I definitely can say, hand on my heart, I'm in the best place ever I've ever been with my eating disorder in the past 8 years, like the best. And I'm really proud to say that. And I'm really proud of like the work that I've put in. And also now, like, I still get those thoughts and those feelings about my body, and especially being on camera and recently doing a lot of like fitness stuff.
I know, I've seen you everywhere.
Yeah. And I find being, it's so interesting. I find being in activewear, like being shot in activewear, the most triggering, which is weird.
Well, yeah, because everything is exposed.
I know, but it's like you would think that maybe being in like I do a lot of stuff for like, you know, underwear brands and
oh, totally.
I would think that that would be more triggering, but it's not for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe because of my overtraining background. Maybe. I don't know. Mm. It doesn't matter. But
interesting.
Yeah, I still get those like thoughts, and like I was even on a shoot like 3 days ago, and it was activewear. And I was not having a good day, like mental, like with ED stuff. And I'd been struggling. I had like a binge the day before. So I was just feeling a bit deflated. And like even on the shoot, I was, you know, on my A game, like doing the things. But feeling they were good. Like, oh, do you want to come like look at the photos? Because obviously they come through on whatever, I don't know what that's called. And in my head, I was like, no, that's not a good idea today. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I trust you guys. But it was because I was like, I don't want to trigger myself. There's no point.
I love
like,
that.
I'm not going to look at something that I know is just going to make me stupidly feel crappy. But then some days, like, you know, I'm like, fuck yeah, I look hot.
Isn't it so hard when you work, I shot with Bonds like you, and they say that they don't retouch the photos, and I'm sure they don't. Mm. But as soon as a brand says, we don't retouch, I want to vomit. Because I'm like, oh my God, it's so hard because yes, I don't want you to retouch my body, but every photo on the internet, most photos on the internet are retouched. So like you instantly go, oh my God, I'm so exposed. And like I will think, I don't know, like I don't dislike what I look like, but when a camera is on you and there's just so much, like you just see everything, especially when it's going to be blown up in stores on billboard. Mm. I'm like, oh, it'd be good if you could whiten my teeth. Give me a little nip tuck, give me a little smooth, get rid of the pimple.
Yeah.
Like it's so, and it's so hard to not come from that background. Georgia's a hair and makeup artist. She sees every, do you know what I mean? Like you see, and I see every detail in my body. I don't hate it, but like it is hard to go, yeah, leave it raw. Leave the image raw. Because a part of you just goes, oh, can you please just do like a little slight, like just a little, you know, little tweak?
Oh, it's weird for me. Like I think I feel like now I don't have any sense of what I look like either because it's all like mental for me and it's all triggered by like I struggle with PTSD. And so if I'm triggered in that realm, that can trigger my eating disorder. And I know that it's all like, it's all in my head because like on a good day, on a day where I'm feeling really like at bay and like calm and in my body, I don't give a shit about looking at a photo of me. Like, I honestly, I'm like, I'm hot. Or like, you know, like even if I have, you know, whatever. Like, I know objectively, even though I have no sense really anymore of what I look like because it's so warped because of mental illness. I do know that like, even like I have thin privilege. Like, I know I wear a size like 10 pant. Like, I'm small. Like, even though I can't like, you know. But yeah, it's so interesting that because I don't like, for me, I've never, like, even when I was, like, modeling, like, I've never been, like, I don't know. Like, if I'm in an okay frame of mind, like, I couldn't give a crap about a pimple on my head. Like, I'm really, like, me at the core of it without all that crap, like, I'm pretty chill.
Yeah.
It's just when, like, I'm having, when.
When things have been flared up.
Flared up. And I think, too, like, I think being in this industry too, if I've had a few rejections and a few no's, brain automatically goes to, it's like, cause you're a fat bitch. And like, because you put on weight and because like all this crap and it's bullshit. And if that is the truth, then I don't want any part of it anyway, cause I'm not going to have an eating disorder in order to be successful. And that those lessons are priceless. Cause I feel like we only really learn lessons when we really feel the effects of, you know,
oh my God,
doing the other thing.
No, 100% we do. What would be your advice for our audience who might be struggling with their body image and may have had a similar situation to you?
Again, therapy, it's great. Yeah. If you find a good, it takes a while to find a good therapist, but if you find a good one.
Amazing.
But even if you can't afford therapy, there's so many, like the Butterfly Foundation, they do so many, like they have amazing resources and like programs and like things that you can do to help yourself in that regard. If it's just like a day-to-day struggle, I don't know. I kind of like for me, when it comes to my body, I try and not focus on it too much, like period. Like just almost become like neutral in the way that I think about myself. Like instead of trying to convince myself that like, you know, look at that ass and like, I love this about myself. Well, you know when people say like stand in front of the mirror and like say five things you love about yourself, like that might work for some people. For me, it doesn't. It feels fake and like,
yeah, same.
I don't want to do that. Like I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about the way I look, you know? I don't want to, you know, like that's like the goal for me is just to be like, this is my body. And like some days and some times in my life, it's going to look different to what it looks like now. Neither is good, neither is bad. It just like is. Like it's just.
It just is.
This is my body.
Oh, babe, 100%.
And I feel like adopting that mentality has helped me just like become less fazed by things. So when I do even see something or feel like, you know, feel a certain way about my body or I'm on a shoot and I'm feeling uncomfortable, I recover quicker because yeah. I'm like, unless my body is being like, which again, like my work is a bit crappy. Unless my body is being like presented to me, like I'm on a shoot. Outside of that, I don't really think about my body like ever. Unless like the things it can do for me. Like when I'm like at the moment, I'm like, I'm not injured. Like
amazing.
I'm training semi-consistently. I'm enjoying my training. Like that's a win for me. Like my body's 100%. Doing what it's meant to be doing.
It's moving pain-free. You're not sick. You're not injured. I also think it's realistic to look in the mirror and some days be like, fuck, I look good. I feel strong. Mm. And I think it's realistic to also have many days as well where you look in the mirror and think, God, you look shit.
Yeah, we're humans living in the capitalist society that we do. Like if you don't, like, oh, all power to you. But like it's pretty hard for most people.
I don't know that many people can look in the mirror every day and be like, you look banging. Like it's not normal. It's like it's so normal to have bad days, good days, feel good about yourself, feel shit about yourself. I don't think the goal is to get to a point where you are just like, I'm the best because it's so unrealistic. And unless you are a full-blown narcissist, I really don't think that is very realistic. I think a realistic approach is to be able to look in the mirror and like the person that you see back, like in your soul.
Yeah.
So it is just this really interesting balance of learning to accept the things that you may not love about yourself. Mm. Because you can't change them. And what's the point in being unhappy with those features for the rest of your life? Like you can choose. Do you want to be unhappy with that feature for the rest of your life? Fuck no.
No. And I think that's why, like, yeah, again, I focus on like body neutrality. Yeah. Because it's just.
I love that.
You don't need to wake up and think about your body. Like, why do we need to have an opinion on it every day? Why do I need to wake up and be like, I look good today? Or wake up and be like, I look like shit today. It's like, why? I don't need, why?
So now I'm going to jump into our listener questions. Number one is, do you ever have to fake it till you make it?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, we're kind of doing that every day. Like if I walked in here being my absolute true self of how I truly feel today, it'd be shocking. Like, it'd be like me crying. It'd be me sitting here just like, you know, no, but like, that's fine. That's today. And then tomorrow, you know, tomorrow I could be overjoyed about something, but I'm still not going to walk into here just being like,
oh my God.
You know, there's an element of like
simmering.
Faking. I'm still being myself right now. Like this is
just
completely who
down,
I am, but I'm playing the room. Like we do that every single day. And I think, you know, people always ask this question in terms of work, right? So if this person is asking in that term, in that way, then yeah, I guess so. But it's not like a fake, it's not being
it's
fake.
It's not being fraudulent.
It's figuring out what you value, what you want to do, what your end goal is and doing that even on days where you are feeling insecure and like crappy or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Or like for me, like I look at it as like when I was 16, I started a business, a food vendor business. And at the time, if I was to like listen to other people or if I was to like, I don't know, actually be a realist maybe about it, that would have been the stupidest idea. Like I was 16, I was still in school. I didn't know anything about business. I didn't know anything about handling food. I literally went on Google at the back of class and was like, how to start a food vendor business. And there was a list and I ticked everything off. And that got me to like, I had a very successful business that lasted me like 6 years.
I know,
paid for my first car. Like, you know, and that was a pure fake it till you make it. I was like, I'm going to start a business. I don't know anything about business.
Yeah, I love that.
So maybe yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully, I embrace that.
But it's not fake. It's just like a version of yourself.
Oh, it's just like it's owning your like higher self and like realizing your true potential.
Yeah.
Not realizing it, just like stepping into it. And then later on you might realize it, but you
can if you're insecure, you're like, I'm still gonna, you know, believe in myself. Even,
well, it's jumping anyway, isn't it? It's jumping anyway, knowing there's risk.
Yeah.
Question number two is, what do you think about the term self-care? Like, what does that mean to you?
My TikTok series is called Self-Care. Watch Self-Care. So go watch that.
Yeah, amazing. How many episodes
have
you
done? So when you say that, I'm like, I think of my show.
Amazing.
But in actual fact, self-care is just honestly like listening to what you need. My friends always say this about me. They're like, you're really good at listening, like, to self-care. And I am. Like, I'll never not put my self-care first. Like, my friends are always like, you're just like always in the sun. You're always like, I don't know, like exercising or like, I don't
intuitively know. Choosing what's right for you.
Yeah, I just, I won't compromise like my self-care.
Great.
Ever. And sometimes that looks like, you know, having to put like a deadline first, because that's self-care. Because if I, you know, miss that, then I'm going to feel like fucking shit. Totally. So, you know, there is like that's a very broad spectrum for me. But yeah, I guess self-care for me is just like listening to what my body like actually needs and like not compromising on it.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Mm. Question number three is, how do you push through self-doubt?
I just sometimes just give myself, like I just let myself feel crappy for a bit. Mm. Like I just go like, I'm having one of those days. I feel awful and I'm just going to like let that be that. And I'll probably indulge in some self-care to make myself feel better. I chat to my therapist a lot because I struggle with self-doubt like heavily, and I bring it to therapy a lot, and she helps me a lot with certain exercises and like rituals that help with that. And then I guess back to the first question, I feel the fear and I do it anyway.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
It's so much power in feeling the fear and still taking the leap, because most of the time it works out for you in your favor. And then you've created a really beautiful neural pathway, which is positive. Mm-hmm. And once you've done it once, you can often do it again, which is really cool. We're now going to jump into our recommendations, which is what we're listening to, reading or watching that the audience at home would benefit from. Mm-hmm. The book I'm recommending is from an old podcast guest called Alexis Fernandez. Mm-hmm. She's done two books, and her first book was called Be Bold, which is amazing. But the second book is the one I'm recommending. It's called The Neuroscience of Self-Love. Mm-hmm. She's incredible. You'd probably follow her on Instagram. I highly recommend
it. Does she have a podcast?
Follows her. She does.
Yeah, I listen to it.
Yeah. The podcast I'm recommending is Come Out Wherever You Are, which is Sean's podcast, and also producer Lindsay's podcast as well. You've also been on Sean's podcast. It's incredible. Really ties into today's episode. And then what I'm watching, which I actually haven't been watching Netflix for a while, but what I was watching and I loved was The L Word. Lol.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, so I'm going to like recommend things that I'm not currently watching and stuff.
Oh my God,
but
that so
I
that you like.
I want to recommend.
Totally.
Beyond the Gender Binary by Alok is one of my favorite books. It's the reason why I came out as non-binary. It's a very small book, easy read. It'll take you like an hour to read. It's great. Favorite podcast would be Maintenance Phase, which is an incredible podcast. It's American. It unpacks like diet culture.
Love
things
that.
Like they have like a whole episode on like The Biggest Loser, on like paleo diet. Like,
oh my God, that's so good.
It's incredible. Was it a TV show or like a film or what?
Just something that you're watching. Yeah,
I mean, at the moment I'm watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God, love. I know.
But if I was to recommend, I'd recommend watching Disclosure on Netflix, which is a documentary about trans queer representation in film and TV. And it's very, very educational and also just great, and has some amazing creators in it being interviewed. So I would recommend
that.
Yes,
babe. Oh my God, I wish we could keep going, but we've gone over time. I knew we would. You can find Kath on Instagram at Kath Ebbs. Their content is incredible, always posting about sexuality, workouts, what they're doing in the world, and just spreading positivity and beautiful messaging to all of your followers. I love your content and I love you. Kath's details and the things we recommend will also be in today's show notes. Kath, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Look at us go.
Hey.
Better For It is presented by me, Haiti Williams. Producer, Lindsay Green. Audio producer, Nikki Sitch. Executive producer, Nick McClure. Stay in touch with me and follow me on Instagram at Katie Williams.
listener.